Brad. Good afternoon to everyone here. Welcome to our guests, our travelers, our friends from far and wide. Good to see you all here today. My wife is with my daughter, her family, and their clan down in Nevada. She's going to Lake Powell. They have the July 4th family get-together, so she's with them. They have 50, 60 people go camping at Lake Powell during the July 4th weekend. You know, we live in a world that is not the world we once knew. We live in a world that's filled with chaos and confusion. You know, if you take a scroll through the news headlines, it leaves one perplexed and wondering if the world has gone insane. You know, violence, anger, division, and offense are everywhere. People are quicker than ever to lash out, to take offense, to hold grudges, to respond with bitterness. And if we are not careful, the spirit of this age can creep into our hearts. It can cause us to react in ways that do not reflect Christ living in us. Today's message is titled, Let It Be, Let It Go. My wife and I have been reading the book by Mel Robbins entitled, Let Them. It's a, kind of an eye-opening book. We're about a third of the way through. This message is about releasing offenses, refusing to be provoked, reconciling with our brother, and allowing the Holy Spirit to transform our relationships so that we can live in harmony as we see the day approaching. You know, the world is riled up, but we don't have to be. Like Mr. Pischke was saying, we don't need to engage in this world. We don't have to be riled up. We don't have to take sides in the politics of this world. You know, the past few years has been very trying for many. Many have suffered loss, confusion, regret. You know, we often have regrets of things that we did when we were younger, things that we have said. We wish that we could go back and fix some of those things that have happened. You know, regret often comes from moments when we reacted poorly, when we let someone else's words or actions provoke us into anger, resentment, or retaliation. But Scripture tells us plainly in Philippians 2 and verse 3. Philippians 2, verse 3. Paul's addressing a number of problems that were happening in the churches in Asia Minor. Philippians 2, verse 3. There's a lot of discord at the time. But he said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Let each esteem others better than themselves. You know, if we esteem others, we won't be so easily offended. If we value others, we won't be so quick to react. If we love others, we won't allow hatred or vengeance to take root. You know, the world is full of provocations, but God's people must be full of peace. One of the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering. When someone offends you, let it be. Christ taught us that offenses will come. Matthew 18, verses 1 through 7. Matthew 18, verses 1 through 7. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child or little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Does that mean we're supposed to be act foolish like a little child? Or what is Christ getting at? "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a millstone hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes." You know, people will say things. People will do things. People will misunderstand us, misjudge us, or mistreat us. But the question is, how do we respond? Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, 1 Corinthians verse 4, love chapter, Corinthians 13. "Love suffers long and is kind." And verse 5. "Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked." And in verse 7. "Bears all things, endures all things." Not provoked, not stirred up, not triggered into anger. We are not to be easily provoked to anger. You see instances of road rage occurring on our freeways. People get offended at the slightest provocation. Somebody pulled in front of somebody else and things escalate very quickly out of hand. We are not to be easily provoked to anger. We are to react with calmness when we suffer wrongfully at the hands of others. Now, that is at the heart of what it is to let it be. Just let it be. Let them. You don't have to control them. Just let them do what they're doing. Let it be. Don't let the small stuff derail your peace. Don't let someone's careless words steal your joy. Don't let someone's bad day become your bad day. Most offenses are small. Most slights are accidental. Most misunderstandings are fixable. And even when they aren't, we can still choose to have peace. When the hurt runs deep, let it go. There are times when offenses are not small, times when someone truly wounds us, times when relationships fracture. Christ gave us clear command for those moments in Matthew 23, verses 23 to 24. We're familiar with what Christ said here to the disciples. Matthew 5, verses 23 to 24. "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you," something against you, "leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift." You will notice that the verse did not say, "There remember that you have something against your brother." It said, "If your brother has something against you." It didn't say, "If you have something against your brother." You know, we are to forgive our brothers. not hold on to past transgressions. However, if our brother is bothered over something that we have said or done, we are to take the first steps towards reconciliation. How do we let offenses go? By restoring relationships, by talking to our brother, by approaching them with humility, not hostility. I had to take some required training at work entitled Rules for Using the Whole Message Model. This training was how we go about dealing with conflicts that come up in our work environment by setting forth a number of steps. The first step was observations. When we go to our brother, in a sense, we are to describe. If we are to go to them humbly, say, hey, this happened, we need to take care of it, we are to describe what happened objectively, without emotion, without exaggeration, without accusation. Describe the other person's behavior in objective terms. Look, observe, examine what he or she has been saying or doing. Describe the specific behavior concretely. We are to use concrete terms. Describe specific time and place and frequency. Describe behavior and not motive. Don't say, you did this because you are thinking such and such. You know, you can't describe motive. You don't know what's in their head. Describe your emotional reaction to it. Never use vague terms like, you always leave, or you never take out the garbage, or whatever it may be. I'm using that as an example. Never generalize. And never try to guess their motives or goals. Step two, express how their behavior affected you calmly and positively. Express your feelings calmly. State feelings in a positive manner relating to a goal to be achieved. Describe specific behavior that you want to see accomplished. Never attack the character of a person. If you go to them humbly to try to resolve a problem, never unleash an emotional outburst. State your feelings, but don't state them negatively. State clearly when you're working with someone else, state clearly what you want to see changed. Give them concrete steps. Request a small change. Don't pile on a whole bunch of changes that you want to see from them. Don't give them a long laundry list of things. I want you to do this, 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 and this. Start by having a small, easily achievable change. And don't merely hint that you'd like a change. Don't ask for too large of a change, and don't ask for too many changes. Explain why change matters. For the sake of unity, for the sake of harmony, and for the sake of shared goals. We all have the same goal. We all want to become children of God in His coming kingdom. We all have that goal. We all want to be there together. There are a lot of churches of God existing today in the world. We need to work together in unity and harmony. And yes, it's hard. They did this, they did that. We did this, we did that. We need to get beyond that. We need to strive for unity. We need to strive for harmony. We need to have shared goals. Becoming reconciled or restoring relationships with our brethren, family, or spouses is one of the most difficult tasks that are set before us. That is why people avoid it so much and would rather just sweep it under the rug. But it is also one of the most necessary tasks that we should perform. You know, when Christ returns, we're going to have to know how to live and work together in unity as a team with Him in the work that He will have us do. The Holy Spirit gives us power to respond right. We cannot do this alone. Human nature wants revenge. Human nature wants us to lash out. Human nature wants us to hold grudges. However, God's Spirit gives us the power to do just the opposite. The miracles that were performed in the early days of the New Testament church are not being performed in the same manner today. Rather, the miracles that we experience are miracles of spirit and not of the flesh. Those miracles of spirit involve changing the hearts and the minds of men and women from a competitive spirit to one of cooperation, from a spirit of pride to a spirit of meekness, from a spirit of get to a spirit of giving, from a spirit of hate to a spirit of love. These miracles are the ones that eventually transformed the entire world after the establishment of the coming kingdom of God. That is the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit enables us to respond gently instead of harshly. Holy Spirit allows us to forgive instead of retaliate. The Holy Spirit helps us to reconcile instead of withdrawing. The Holy Spirit helps us to love instead of hate. Let it be, instead of obsessing over wrongs. Let it go instead of clinging to hurt. The Spirit empowers us to live the words of Romans 12, verse 18. Romans 12, 18. I had a poster hanging on my wall when I was a kid in my room. And on that wall, it had this phrase in there: if it be possible, Romans 12, verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That doesn't mean you have to be a floor mat or doormat, whatever. But live peaceably with all men. Try to get along with people. Christ promised in John 14, verses 16 to 18, John 14, 16 to 18. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that it may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The Spirit of God resides within us. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees it nor knows it. But you know it, for it dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. The Holy Spirit had not yet been given at the time when Christ told us to His disciples. But it has come to us since the giving of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, 33 AD. The Holy Spirit represents Christ and God living in us. We want God and Christ to take His abode within us. The Apostle John elaborated on this in 1 John 4, verses 2 to 3. 1 John 4, verses 2 through 3. Here John is talking about something called the Antichrist. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. What is that saying? It's saying that Jesus Christ has come into our flesh, resides within us. He has made his abode with us, just as God the Father has as well, if we have the Spirit of God residing within us. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Christ comes and dwells in our flesh if we have his Spirit. Jesus said that he would come to us. He has come into our flesh through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You know, we are not alone in this world. The Spirit is with us. Christ is with us. The Father is with us through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. As we see the day approaching, the end of the world is coming, probably sooner than later. The way things are going now in the world that we see today, as we see the day of approaching, let it be and let it go. The world is accelerating toward the return of Jesus Christ. Now is not the time to let down our guard. Now is the time to be fully engaged, fully alert, and at the ready. Christ's return is near, because none of us know the number of our days. We must prioritize what truly matters and what matters most. Love, unity, forgiveness, harmony, reconciliation, and peace. We cannot afford to waste emotional energy on petty offenses. We cannot afford to harbor bitterness. We cannot afford to be divided over small things. Time is short. The day truly is at hand. Let it be and let it go. There are some practical ways to live this out. When someone irritates you, pause. Sometimes we're quick to react. Sometimes we just need to pause. Ask yourself, is this worth losing my peace? Is this, whatever this is, worth getting upset over? Pause. When someone offends you, pray. Ask God to help us respond with his Spirit, not with the response that comes from our fleshly spirit, one that lashes out, retaliates. Pray for God to help us to respond with his Spirit. When someone hurts you, when they hurt you, go to them humbly. Seek reconciliation, not vindication. Don't try to retaliate. When someone mistreats you, forgive them. Forgive them. You know, forgiveness is not weakness. Forgiveness is strength. Forgiveness is being like Christ. When someone speaks ill of you, bless them. Bless them. Paul wrote in Romans 12:14, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. That's just the opposite of what the world does. If somebody in the world does something to somebody else, oh, it's war. But we're to bless and curse not. When someone refuses reconciliation, release it. Don't harbor it. Don't hold it. You can only do your part. Let it be and let it go. You know, we have the example of Jesus Christ. Christ was mocked, beaten, betrayed, abandoned, and crucified. Yet he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Let it be. He let it be. He let it go. He entrusted himself to the Father, and he calls us to follow him. We are to be a people of peace in a world of anger. You know, the world is angry. The world is divided. The world is offended by everyone and everything, it seems. But we are called to be different. We are called to be peacemakers. We are called to be reconcilers. We are called to be forgivers. And we are called to be ambassadors of Christ. We have all been called to be witnesses of Christ, letting the light of Christ shine in us to those that are living in the darkness of this world. Someday in the future, when their eyes are opened at the time of their visitation, they will remember us for how we acted and how we responded. They will remember us. And hopefully they will remember us being Christ-like. You know, we have been called to be witnesses of Christ, letting the light of Christ shine in us to those living in the darkness of this world. So let us shine. Let us forgive. Let us reconcile. Let us esteem others better than ourselves. Let us walk in the Spirit. Let us have urgency about the things that matter. Let us ignore the small stuff. Let us release the big stuff. Let it be and let it go. And let Christ live in us.